Good morning. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, team. Who does that song besides you?
Aaron Schust.
Aaron Schust. Okay, great. All righty, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, part of which we just read. Ephesians chapter 5. Tim, I'm sorry I didn't holler out at you. I meant for you to go through verse 17. Let me read for us as we begin this morning this passage. We will eventually be to Ephesians 5 and begin in verse 15 and read through verse 17. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. The Word of God says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." This is God's inerrant, authoritative, and inspired word. May He bless what we've read. And let me pray for us as we begin this morning that God will strengthen us to understand His word. We thank You, Father, for a new year. We thank You for great mercy and grace to give us another year to serve You, to glorify You. We do give You praise for rain. We do thank You for the showers You sent last week. And Father, we do pray that You would provide more. I pray this morning for the Living Science Brazil team, Lord, that You would give them a safe passage home from Toronto. Give them Your good speed, Your mercy to find a flight back. Father, I pray especially this morning that You'd strengthen us as we look into Your Word. I pray that You'd help me, as Tim also prayed, help me to speak clearly. Help us to see Your Word, to see what's in Your Word. God, give us wisdom. Help us to understand this often difficult subject of Your will. I pray for help for all of us, that we would be wise and discerning as Your word calls us to be. Father, we pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. I prayed for the Living Science team from Brazil. Let me mention that they were supposed to get in at about noon, and for reasons unknown, they were diverted to Toronto, which is quite a diversion, you know. And this morning early, I think they were trying to make arrangements to get back to Atlanta. So pray for them as you think of it through the day, that God will give them a timely and safe passage home. All right. Back in 1984, from 1980 through 1984, there was a TV show called That's Incredible. I never watched it, but I believe it was hosted by John Davidson, Kathy Lee Crosby. I do remember Fran Tarkington was on the show. In case you missed it, as I did, the show aired stunts, some of them quite dangerous, and reenactment of paranormal events that were incredible. Well, I think we should have another TV show called That's Unbelievable. And this show, in my mind, would feature some of the unbelievable ways people used to determine the will of God. The ways they used to find out what God wants them to do. A reality show about some of the sometimes bizarre things people do to determine the will of God for their lives. Our first guest on the show would be the woman who wanted to take a visit to the Holy Land. She wanted to go and visit Israel. She'd read about it, she thought about it, and she picked up a pamphlet and began to pray about whether she should go to visit the Holy Land. She had the money to make the trip, she had the time to make the trip, but she wasn't quite certain what to do, and so she was wrestling with this, and one evening before she went to bed, she again picked up the pamphlet, read through it again, noticed that they would be flying there and back on a 747. Went to sleep that night, tossed and turned, and woke up in the morning, looked at her alarm clock, and it said 7:47, thereby concluding that it was the will of God for her to make the trip to Israel. And then following this guest, our next our next contestant, not contestant really, our next guest on the show would be this a certain pastor formerly served for many years as a deacon. This gentleman, after he became an ordained minister, was tempted to purchase his degree from a degree mill, from one of those places that sells degrees. He read in his King James Bible the words of 1 Timothy 3:13 and got his answer from the Lord, which says in the King James Version, "For they that have used the office of deacon well purchased to themselves a high degree." That is unbelievable. Also very dishonest. And then next on the show, we'd find the gentleman from Washington, D.C., searching for God's will for his future. His car ran out of gas in front of the embassy to the Philippines, and he determined that it was therefore God's will for him to serve as a missionary in the Philippines. Other people on the show would include a man who was struggling with knowing God's will, prayed as he was driving, "If it's your will for me to do this, then may the light at the next corner stay green until I get there." Another one wrestling with God's will, "Lord, may my phone ring at 9:21 tonight if your answer to me is yes." And then there's one that perhaps some of the men can relate to. The man calling the girl on the phone said, "Lord, if it's your will for her to go out with me, may she pick up the phone on the first ring." Nothing about her saying yes. Unbelievable, isn't it? And maybe perhaps not so unbelievable because some of us perhaps have done the same things. The things that we have done to attempt to discern the will of God. How do you discern the will of God? How do you determine what God wants you to do in life? How do you know if He wants you to change jobs? How do you discover who He wants you to marry? What house to buy? What car to purchase? Whether to go on a mission trip or not? What career path to choose? What college to attend? How do you know what God wants you to do? And whether or not some of those things describe your stage in life still is, as maybe an adult or even an older adult, you're left with that question, how do you decide what God wants you to do? How do you discern the will of God? It is a question I have wrestled with most of my adult life. And I can tell you honestly that I have been preparing this message since 1979. My freshman year at Bryan College. And there is no way that one sermon can answer all the questions related to this issue. How do you discover the will of God? But at the very least this morning, what I pray you will think about, what you will re-examine, is how you receive guidance. Oh, a proverbial and continual question is, how do we know what God wants us to do? Oh, this is so important as Christ followers. Let me recommend two things for you to pursue after the message. If you, perhaps like me, have struggled with this a long time, there is an outstanding book for you to read called Decision Making and the Will of God. It came out in 1980, 27 years ago. It has helped me greatly, and I recommend it to you. I have one copy this morning that you can take. I have a few more that I've ordered and will be here later in the week. It is outstanding. The author is very thorough in his discussion. You can tell how thorough he is. But it's not overly technical. It's not really technical at all, but it is very satisfying in the way he thoroughly deals with the issue of knowing the will of God. Very, very good thing for you to read. The second is much briefer. Okay, so this you could probably handle, you know, between football games today. This is a small but equally helpful book by John MacArthur called Found, God's Will. And this is a whopping $2. And I have several copies. And I encourage you to pursue this after the message, and beyond the messages, if you would like to talk about this, I've thought about it a lot and would love to talk to you after or sometime during the week. But this morning, how do you discern the will of God? How do you know what God wants you to do? How do you discover His will? Three things we want to see, as you can see in the inside of your bulletin there, the outline. First, we want to see the need to discern God's will. And then secondly, we want to look at the Bible's instruction on discerning the will of God. Yes, the Bible does give us instruction on how to know what God wants us to do. And then finally, we're going to see a method. And I'm going to suggest a three-step method for discerning the will of God if we make it through to the end. So let's take a look at first at the need. Why do we need to discern God's will? Well, as I began, I attended Bryan College. As I began Bryan College, I entered with a great desire to please the Lord. Probably more than anything, what I wanted to do was please God, like 2 Corinthians 5:9. It was my desire to be pleasing to the Lord, as is the case with many college students, young college students. But growing up, I was taught what I consider a confusing method for finding God's will. I was taught that God had an individual will for each person. That one of the most important things a Christian could do was to find the perfect will of God. And to do that, to find that dot, was to be in the center of God's will. Perhaps this is resonating with you, and you're thinking to yourself, what's wrong with that? And I was also instructed that you knew you were in the center of God's will if you had what? The peace of God. Well, how do you know if you're in the will of God? How do you know if you've found God's perfect will? Well, you'll have peace. And this is what I went to Bryan College informed with. And this was my paradigm, so to speak, as I entered college. And Gary Friesen, the author of this book, describes this method like this. And see if maybe this is not how, like me, you live. It says, God's individual will is that ideal, detailed life plan which God has uniquely designed for each believer. This life plan encompasses every decision we make and is the basis of God's daily guidance. This guidance is given through the indwelling Holy Spirit, who progressively reveals God's life plan to the heart of the individual believer. The Spirit uses many means to reveal this life plan, but He always gives confirmation at the point of each decision. Well, Rob, what's wrong with that? Sounds pretty good to me. I would say the problem with that is that it can be, and often is, unbelievably confusing. It was confusing for me. Let me explain a little bit about my confusion. My first year at Bryan, I met and fell madly in love with this redheaded girl named Christy Bradley. And here's what I wanted to know more than anything. Was it God's will for me to date Christy? I wanted to please the Lord, but I was also pretty madly in love with this redheaded girl. And so I prayed about it, and I asked God, Lord, show me your will in this. And I called my parents up and asked for advice. And what do you think they told me? Well, if it's God's will, you'll have a peace about it. Well, did I not have peace? Oh, wow! I was sick to my stomach. I was losing sleep. It was pathetic. There was nothing immoral about our relationship. I just wanted to date this gorgeous redhead, and I wasn't sure if it was God's will. So convinced that I lacked the peace that came from being in the center of God's will, I broke up with her. Three times I broke up with her. In the first semester. I told you I was confused. It's a miracle we ever got married. Talk about the grace of God and a patient woman, huh? Even when I broke up, I lacked peace. And so I sought additional counsel. There was an older couple, a young married couple. He was older than me, the husband of this couple. My father had married them. The wife was the sister of my best friend growing up. I knew him pretty well. He was studying to be a pastor. So I thought, I've got to go talk to somebody else. And what do you think he told me? Well, don't turn your back on what your mom and dad have taught you. You know, quoting something from Proverbs about wearing it around my neck. And I received what I thought was bad counsel. I didn't know it then. And I was miserable. Man. And slowly, I started to wonder if I was thinking about God's will the right way. Maybe I thought, I've been wrong about how you find the will of God. Maybe there is a different way. I began to feel like Charlie Brown at the end of a Charlie Brown Christmas. Isn't there anyone? Isn't there anyone who can tell me what the will of God is all about? You know, at the end of the show, Linus. There was no Linus in my show. But I walked into chapel one day, and one of our chapel speakers was a Bible professor named Bob Andrews, and he gave a chapel message called The Will of God, Do, Don't Discover. Well, I'm telling you, I was all ears. I listened to that chapel message with rapt attention. I pasted the notes in the back of my Bible. Here's a little bit of his conclusion. Now, if you think it sounds like heresy, I beg you to hang with me, okay? We either know the will of God or we don't know it. If we know it, we should do it. If we don't know it, it doesn't matter what we do. If it mattered to God, He would let us know it, as He is already in all the really important aspects of Christianity. I'm telling you, my jaw was on the floor of chapel that morning. I couldn't believe it. It was so radical. What do you mean it doesn't matter? I had never heard such a radical and liberating view of the will of God in my whole life. A view that God has built on over the years through other means, eventually through this book I've recommended to you this morning, other chapel speakers and things. The view of God's will that I was taught led me to great frustration. And I think others too. And perhaps even you. Listen to a couple of quotes from decision-making in the will of God about other people's frustration. I've met many believers who were frustrated because they were convinced that God loved them and had a wonderful plan for their lives, but for some reason He was not telling them what it was. There's really a little bit of humor in there. You know, He loves you, but He's not going to tell you what His plan is. Why had it been so hard for me, this is the author speaking, to find God's will when I so sincerely asked for it? God, please show me. Nothing. My experience of frustration in decision-making was by no means unique. Over the years, it's become evident to me that for many Christians, the same sense of anxiety emerges from the closet every time an important decision must be made. As a result, some believers that I've talked to have openly admitted that they dislike or even dread the process of making important decisions in life. And then finally, frustration has indeed been experienced in different ways and in varying degrees as Christians have attempted to pinpoint that elusive dot, darn that dot, in the center of God's will. I'm taking a risk that maybe you have been there, or maybe you are there. And I believe there is great need, not just because of me, but because of the wide testimony of how frustrating it has been for people to find the will of God. Well, does the Bible have anything to say? Enough about what your mess was in college. Does the Bible have anything to say about this, Rob, about discerning the will of God? As a matter of fact, it does. A great deal. So let's go secondly to see the Bible's instruction on discerning the will of God. You're already in Ephesians 5, and that's where I want to begin with you. And then briefly in Romans 12, but first Ephesians 5, 15 to 17. It's verse 17 that I really want to draw your attention to. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let me make four observations for us from this portion of the Word of God. First, would you notice that we are commanded to understand God's will? It's a command. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's in the imperative. It doesn't leave much room for, well, I'm not sure what the will of God is, because God's word comes out and says that we should know what the will of God is. It is a command, first of all, but secondly, note that it's a command to use your mind. It's a command for you to use your thought processes. It's a command for you to think. The Greek word is suniemi, and the word means to bring things together and see them in relationship to one another, to think things through, to comprehend. It means to employ your capacity for understanding. And so the second observation, not only is it a command, but it's a command to think. Discerning the will of God, ladies and gentlemen, is a rational process. Now, I'm not sure how that comes across. The command to discern the will of God, Paul says, and God through the apostle says, it's a rational process. It involves thinking. It involves your thought process. It's a departure, a pretty radical departure, isn't it, from relying on subjective impressions, isn't it? Now, bear with me now. Don't let me lose you here. It involves using your mind, the second observation. Third observation I want you to see from this verse, that the opposite of this command is to be foolish. Do you see that in the first half of the verse? Verse 17 again, therefore do not be foolish, but, here's the other half, understand what the will of the Lord is. If we don't know what the will of God is, the Word of God says that we're foolish. This is not a compliment. The word Paul uses means to be without reason, to be senseless, to be stupid. I'm reading the dictionary's definition, okay? To be without reflection or intelligence. And while the command understand means to use your capacity for thinking, this word foolish means not using your capacity for thinking. The opposite of understanding God's will is to be foolish. So far, our three observations, just to make sure we're all buckled up here. It is a command for you to understand the will of God. It secondly is a command that involves the thought process, to think. And thirdly, the opposite of this command is to be foolish. You know, this is not very helpful to me, you know, because I struggle understanding what the will of God is. And for you to come and put pressure on me isn't very helpful. So not only am I struggling to know the will of God, you come along behind and say, I'm foolish for not knowing. There's good news in the fourth observation I want to show you. Notice what follows this command. After commanding us to understand the will of God, Paul goes on to spell out what the will of God is. What? Yes, the will of God is then spelled out for you in black and white. You're holding it in your lap. It's printed on the page. It's not something you have to see in a meatloaf sandwich. It's right here, and you should jump up and shout, praise God! You mean I don't have to? No, you don't! It's right here. Notice it begins at verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but Be filled with the Spirit. And then in verse 19, Paul begins to give us a string of modifiers of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. What are you saying? I'm saying that's the will of God. Do you see it? It's right there on the page. It includes singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and make melody to the Lord with all your heart. Is it God's will for you to sing? Yes! It is God's will for you to lift your voice in praise. It's right here. Verse 20, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're always a complainer, I've got news. You are out of the will of God. Do you see where we're going? Do you see the will of God here for you? It continues. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Well, you just lost me there, man. Husbands, love your wives, verse 25. Here's the really bad one, guys. First, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And I'm sorry, but it's here. The will of God is for you to obey mom and dad. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. It's right here. What am I trying to show you? I am trying to show you that the will of God is clearly revealed in the Word of God. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. That after God commands us to understand His will, He goes on, bless Him, to tell us what it is. It is not hidden. It is not unclear. It is laid out before you in black and white. You are commanded to understand the will of God, and it is sitting in your lap. Whew. This is a huge relief. It means you don't have to go ferreting around trying to figure out what the will of God is. You've got it, pal. You've got it right there. Someone comments, has it ever struck you that the vast majority of the will of God for your life has already been revealed in the Bible? That is a crucial thing to grasp. And I would say, amen. I was actually going to say, well, duh, but that doesn't sound very nice. But yes, absolutely, friend. Absolutely. It's a crucial thing for you to lay hold of. Now, there's another passage that just kind of punctuates this. If it was Amarillo, it would be bam! And that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Oh, it's a verse many of us have memorized. Many of us know Romans 12, 1 and 2 like the back of our hand, but there are two phrases that are crucial about knowing the will of God. And so if you would turn there, well, turn there, and let's look at it. Let me just show you as we continue understanding the Bible's instruction about discerning the will of God, and we will look at this passage and then move on. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, excuse me, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Would you notice first that you may discern the will of God? It's not out of reach. You may discern the will of God. That last kind of middle phrase, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is. Much like Ephesians 5 that commands us to know the will of God, this verse also tells us that knowing the will of God with certainty is an attainable goal. It is possible to discern the will of God. You may discern God's will, but secondly, the way you discern God's will. Discerning the will of God is a result, he says, of renewing your mind. Look at verse 2 with me once more. the main command, do not be conformed to this world, and a second, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You catch that little word by? He's calling you to be transformed, changed from the inside out, morphed. The way you're morphed on the inside, he says, is by renewing your mind. That's the means, that's the instrument that morphs you on the inside, is renewing your mind. Look what comes as a result of renewing your mind. Look at the word that. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that, or so that, or with the result that, by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. What are you saying? I'm saying that the way you discern the will of God is by renewing your mind. Well, then how do I do that? How do you renew your mind? With a steady diet of the Word of God. The word literally means to renovate. And just as you've seen this old house come and strip the thing bare and then rebuild it, what gets rebuilt in your brain is Scripture, the Word of God. So as you read the Word in the morning when you get up with your coffee or right before you go to bed or whenever you read the Word of God, and as you sit under the teaching of God's Word in Sunday school and in morning worship, it's renovating your mind. And I hope and I pray that wallpaper's going up this morning, shellacking over that old way that you used to discern the will of God. And new windows are going in, and you feel the breeze of God's will blowing, baby. Woo! It forms a grid. It forms a mesh over your brain so that when things come popping in, you know the will of God. When something flies out of your screen on the TV, you say, well, that's not the will of God. You don't have to use that voice when you do it, but if you'd like to, as it's put, this kind of transformation can occur only as the Holy Spirit changes our thinking through consistent study and meditation of Scripture. What do we see again in Romans 12:2? Is that the will of God is revealed in the Word of God. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. So together, these two passages teach us to discern the will of God, look to the Word of God. There are many who hold this view. So just so you don't think I'm out there, let me read just a couple people who comment to the same tune. First of all, as he has written a book about it, you would not be surprised to hear John MacArthur say it. Since God has a will for us, he must want us to know it. Yes. If so, then we could expect him to communicate it to us in the most obvious way. Yes. How then would that be? Through the Bible, his revelation. Therefore, I believe that what one needs to know about the will of God is clearly revealed in the Word of God. God's will is, in fact, very explicit in Scripture. Then from the Westminster Confession of Faith, the whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for His own glory, man's salvation, faith and life, is either expressly set down in Scripture or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelations of the Spirit or traditions of men. The will of God is found in the Word of God. And then one more, George Mueller, the famous leader who ran orphanages in England. He says, I will seek the will of the Spirit of God through or in connection with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions also. Did you hear that? That's an important sentence. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great delusions also. If the Holy Ghost guides us at all, He will do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. George Mueller. But Rob, I hear you, okay? We discern the will of God through the Word of God. But you know as well as I do that there are situations where Scripture does not address. It doesn't tell me what kind of car to buy. It doesn't tell me what kind of job to take. For those situations and any other situation, what do I do? Let me suggest this method that involves three steps. Thirdly and finally, let's look at a method for discerning the will of God. This is my method. If it's flawed, it's my flaw. You've already heard how confused I've been this morning. All right? Three steps. First, well, guess what step one is? Study the Word of God. Now, by study the Word of God, I don't mean using the open window method or whatever various name it may come by. And you probably know what I mean. That's where you stick your Bible by an open window and the pages blow and you put your finger down and then the story of the open window method goes. A gentleman did this and his first verse he landed on was Judas went and hanged himself. Thinking that's not a very good life verse, he did it again. Go thou and do likewise. And then finally, still not convinced, blows again, whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. So when I say study the Word, that is not what I'm talking about. That is not the way we read and interpret the will of God for our lives. Friend, don't do that. And don't do this either. By studying the Word, I don't mean using the obscure phrase method. I don't mean looking for a passage, or as you're reading a passage, finding a phrase that somehow relates, has a word in common with your situation. Oh, it's God's will for me to move out of town because this verse talks about going to a city. You think that's silly, but I know I'm related to someone who uses that. That is not the way you should use the Word of God to discern His will. Don't use the obscure phrase method. Don't do it. Then what do you mean then by study the Word? I mean, read it daily. Read it more than that if you can. Intake the Word of God. Sit in a Sunday school class and hear it taught. Sit under the Word taught, hopefully God willing, in the morning service. And intake the Word of God, let it put new wallpaper up, put windows in, let it put that grid over your brain. That's what I mean, studying the Word of God in a normal way. Taking it for what it says, what it meant to the original author is what it means to you. It doesn't mean that you should move to a new town if it talks about going to a city. Study the Word. After study the Word, second, seek guidance. Who should I seek guidance from? You should seek guidance from God. You should pray. You should pray along the lines of James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You should seek guidance first from, and of course, from God. Lord, give me wisdom as I make this decision. Lord, I'm in your word, and God, I believe I've been faithful to read it the way it's meant to be read. I don't think I'm pulling straws out of the hat or rabbits out of the hat or whatever you want to pull out of your hat. Lord, give me wisdom, please. You should seek guidance from God. Then secondly, you should seek guidance from mature believers. There's a couple kinds of immaturity. One, there is age immaturity. If you are a younger person, you should seek guidance from an older Christian. And guys, I hate to break it to you. That's your mom and dad. And I say this to any junior high and high school student, and even you elementary students. That guidance is going to come from mom and dad. God will direct you in His will through mom and dad. You know, you might think mom and dad are wrong. Mom and dad might really be wrong. It doesn't matter. That's the way God directs you. And you are commanded, unfortunately, commanded is the word I'm using, to submit to their authority. It will work out. As an example, when I was a sophomore in high school, our church youth group took a trip to a winter camp. And me and my friend Brian and Sam met three ladies from Woodstock, Illinois, from another church youth group. And we came back to Palatine, and we tried to set up a road trip to go up to Woodstock and, you know, date, have a you know, go out for pizza or something really benign. And so I asked my mom, please, can I go to Woodstock with Sam and Brian? The answer was no. And boy, we had a thing. I mean, we had a real thing by the end of it. Woo! I could not go to Woodstock. I was not happy about it. Years later, we were driving to see my sister Kathy, who lived past Woodstock in Rockford, Illinois. Woodstock was an hour from where I lived, and we were driving to Rockford. We were on the road, Interstate 90, the tollway, I think, driving to Rockford, and we passed a sign to Woodstock, and my mom in the front seat says, oh, is that where Woodstock is? And I'm in the back seat, and I'm thinking, what? Mom, where did you think Woodstock was? Oh, I thought it was on the other side of the state. My mom, I thought she was wrong, and she was wrong. But God used it anyway. It doesn't matter. God used it anyway. And if he had not, your pastor's wife would be named Heidi, probably. And aren't we glad it's not? So if you're a younger person, you need to seek guidance because, frankly, there's stuff you just don't know. Frankly, I'm grateful for Harry and Lanier because several times, maybe many times would be more appropriate, they block my immaturity. They keep me from, you know, saying stupid things in letters, you know, and I'm so grateful for their wisdom as elders. And so I put myself under this same deal, that I seek their godly wisdom and guidance. And I'm glad they are elders at New Covenant Bible Church. So there's an age thing, and I'm not implying that you guys are a lot older than me. I'll be buying breakfast next time we go out. I mean, there's also your spiritual age. If you're new in the Lord, boy, you need to get under somebody who's older than you in the Lord. And ask them as you go through this decision so they can say, look, you know, you've missed this. Or they can say to you, you know, the Word of God really does address what you're talking about. You don't know. And you should submit yourself to that kind of counsel because they might see something that you've missed. Sometimes it's good just to have somebody to get in your face and say, are you crazy? You don't have time to do that. Or you can't afford to do that. Or some other thing that you're just not thinking. We have an enormous capacity for self-deception, don't we? We can rationalize and think, oh, I've thought this through. Here's what I think. And you need someone else to sit across from you and say, you are insane. What are you thinking, man? And also, let me say that many times that other counsel can be your spouse. You need to seek counsel from God, from mature believers. The third step, friend, is make an informed decision. By using the word informed, I don't mean just flip a coin. I mean, I do mean think it through as studying the Word of God and counseling, seeking counsel will have implied. But, you know, after that, you just need to make a choice. You just need to decide. If you've studied the Word and sought guidance, the choice doesn't matter. Now, excuse me, I thought you just said that the choice doesn't matter. Is that what you said? If you have studied the Word, and if you have sought counsel, the choice doesn't matter. Pick something. There's a lot implied in those first two things, so don't miss them. Don't think Pastor Rob said today in the morning service that I could do whatever I wanted to do because it didn't matter. That's not what I said. I said, if you've studied the Word, and if you've sought counsel, then it doesn't matter. St. Augustine put it like this, love God and do as you please. And we hear this part over here, holy cow, that's wrong. But you've missed this part, love God. Love God. If you love God, you're not going to rip snort over here and do something ungodly. If you love God, then you are free to do as you please. You probably still may not believe me, and I'm okay with that. A.W. Tozer, I put this quote in your bulletin. A.W. Tozer, if you're not familiar with the name, perhaps you should be, well-known pastor, widely published author. Listen to this. He says inside your bulletin, the man or woman who is holy and joyously surrendered to Christ can't make a wrong choice. That's pretty radical stuff compared to my traditional thinking about the will of God, and maybe you as well. The man or woman who is holy and joyously surrendered to Christ can't make a wrong choice. Any choice will be the right one. And let me say too, you should make a decision knowing that God, His sovereign plan is at work behind your decision. Pick something, and God will be working through it. How do you know that? Because of Proverbs 16:9 that they used in Sunday school this morning. It says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. So if you've studied the Word, and if you've sought counsel, and then you're here to make a decision, and it feels like your decision, well, just go ahead and make it. But know that in that thing that feels like your decision, the sovereign work of God is going on behind it. And that is an enormous comfort. If you've studied the Word, if you've sought counsel, make an informed decision. And that choice, if you've done the first two, won't matter. So, how do we discern the will of God? Well, we've looked at three things. The need, the instruction on discerning God's will, that everything that truly matters has already been revealed. And thirdly, the method, study the Word, seek guidance, make an informed decision. I pray I haven't confused you. It's not my intention to confuse you. It's never my intention to confuse you. If I have confused you about the will of God, please see me. And let's talk about how you think you find the will of God. If you grew up like I did, this can be a real shock. What do you mean it doesn't matter? Love God and do as you please? I just don't know about that. Get decision-making in the will of God. Study it. Read it. It is outstanding. Let me pray for us as we close. Oh, Father, thank you that you have given us your Word. And thank you, Lord, that you have so clearly spelled out what we're to do. And Father, I now pray for us that we would be discerning believers, Christ followers. Lord, that we would discern your will in the Word, that we would seek guidance. But Lord, if there are choices to make, that you would give us wisdom and just help us to pick. And trust that you are at work in whatever we choose. Father, it is mysterious. We don't know exactly how it works, but we know that you promised guidance and you will give it when we seek it. So help us, please, as we follow you and discern your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you, men and women.